നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ ദുർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരണേ ഭജ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈതഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാചാം കുതസ്വാകശ്മലമിദം വിഷമേ സമുപസ്ഥിതം അനാര്യജുഷ്ടം അസ്വർഗ്യം കീർത്തിം കരമർജുന ക്ലാബ്യം അസ്മകമപ്പാർത്ഥ നൈതത്വയുപമദ്യതേ ക്ഷുദ്രം ഹൃദയ ദൗർബല്യം തെക്തോ തിഷ്ഠ പരന്തപ. വേഴ്സ് 2 and 3 ഇൻ ദി സെക്കൻഡ് ചാപ്റ്റർ. സോ വി സോ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ ദാറ്റ് ദീസ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് ടു അർജുന. The beginning of Krishna's instructions in one sense, but without any touch of philosophy in there. Generally, whenever if you look carefully in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna speaks to Arjuna or Uddhava, the way Krishna does that is first he will speak the tattvam, tattvam to both of them. When we say tattvam, what it means? Tattvam means that to tell you the truth. What is the truth? Or the reality, absolute reality. So first to wake up that person, look Arjuna, this is the truth. And after that, Arjuna may or may not have captured the whole essence of the truth. Same thing with Uddhava also. If you observe carefully the verses, you will find these things. That first Krishna will say the truth. This is the truth, Arjuna. This is the truth, Uddhava. If they have understood, to some extent they will understand, not 100%, but 70%, 80%, whatever they have understood, then Krishna will expand on that later, after that. This is generally all the great preceptors, acharyas, all follow the same pattern, like Krishna has done. The way Krishna has done that, the same system, other acharyas also follow when they write their commentaries. To tell you the truth first, this is the truth. And truth means that unchanging truth, the reality, absolute reality, or what they refer to as the absolute truth. That will be conveyed first. And if you hear about the absolute truth, immediately you will wake up that it is something different than what you were thinking about the truth throughout your life, what you thought about it as the truth. So that is why it's necessary to say in that way. Because we have a lot of misconceptions in our mind in various ways about life, about the body, about the soul. So in order to remove all that misconceptions in mind, they first tell you the truth, first they present it. So here what Krishna has done was that first he said these two verses to tell Arjuna that your position is very weak, you are not very properly situated, your mind is disturbed, and the Kashmalam, the quality we mentioned yesterday, that has come to you. So generally the truth is like this, that the sun, we look from here, the sun. Sometimes the sun is covered by clouds. Clouds are closer to us, not closer to the sun. Clouds are closer to us. So one cloud comes and goes away, then we see the sun. Another cloud comes and closes again, covers the sun again. But here between the interaction between the eye and the cloud is causing our vision of the sun, who is so far, far away from us. The clouds are much closer to us. So here, Krishna says here that all our chittavrittis, different kinds of thoughts that's coming through our mind, is also covering the soul in the same way. Soul is like a sun inside, illumination all the time. But it's constantly, the more the thoughts comes and covers it, the less we have the vision of the soul inside. isn't it? Continuously, that's what I was saying yesterday, that the more you take inside, the more coverage will come, develop inside, and the less the realization of the soul inside, the truth inside. Therefore, we don't experience the presence of the soul inside. So all the Mahatmas, they have known this thing from long, long time. So they will avoid to increase this chittavritti. Chittavritti means the activities of the mind. They will keep it away as much as possible from inside. Now, the presence of the soul in a body, as you know, it is not very difficult to understand when you put the logic to it. That always soul presence in me or presence in any one of us is telling us, I am present here. I experience that. I'm there. I. That consciousness that I'm feeling all the time, I am present inside me. Anubhavam, we mentioned that before. Not pratiti, anubhavam. I can always tell somebody, even if you switch the lights off, I am still there. And in all states of existence, I am there. I am. That is always very fixed in me. Now, that consciousness to think that I am present there is the actual truth. That's only truth in this whole thing called body, isn't it? Now, senses are there, but senses, when they get sense enjoyment, for example, that senses also enjoy, because if I'm understood properly, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, then I know the senses are also enjoying because of I am there inside, isn't it? Say, somebody has given me a bowl of sweet rice. I like it very much. I am enjoying sweet rice. Say, you may say that, oh, the tongue is enjoying, the tongue is experiencing that, because the senses are on the tongue, isn't it? Suppose I cut my tongue and dip it in the sweet rice, the tongue won't experience any happiness. What it would experience? Why? Because the soul inside is not there connected with the tongue. Soul's connection with the tongue is gone. I am speaking now and I am able to hear myself what I am speaking, and I am also able to think about it and present it in a way which I feel is okay. So, the same thing, I am always conscious of what I am speaking, isn't it? The consciousness is conscious of everything what's going on within my mind, within my senses, everything. But, say for the example of the mic, if you take this mic, what's the difference between the mic and me? Mike is not conscious of anything. It's not conscious of anything. Mike doesn't react to anything. Mike doesn't react to anything because it has no consciousness. So this difference between, like as I said before, I know I am here. Mike doesn't know that he is a Mike. He doesn't know he is a Mike. I know I am a person or individual soul's presence is consciousness. Mike has no consciousness because there is no soul inside. It has no consciousness. So, everything what we are experiencing in the world, everything what we are experiencing in the world is on top of this reality. This reality that I exist. Yeah? All kinds of emotions. Anger, lust, greed, envy. You know, the different kinds of human good things and bad things, whichever way you call it. These are all happening on top of this truth that I exist. If I am not existing, all these emotions, so they are called the clouds in this. And I am the basis of that. On me, clouds come. And these clouds go. When the clouds are removed, I see the soul inside. So my connection with the soul is hindered or it is obstructed by all these thoughts that's coming through in different forms, like the envy, anger, lust, greed, or competition, and all sorts of feelings, emotions that comes through that. So from here, Krishna is saying to us that behind all these things, remember, Krishna says, when these emotions are coming through, there is that truth behind you standing there, just like the cinema screen. We are projecting the cinema onto the screen, isn't it? So long as the cinema is going on, the machine, the projector, and the film is projected on the screen, we are enjoying the film, watching it, and so many things are happening. But as soon as you switch the projector off, the screen is still there. There, the screen is the reality, not the moving film which was going on all the time. That depends on your projector and the light behind it and all that. But the reality is the screen there. Similarly, the screen is our soul, on which all these different emotions and feelings and happiness and distress and all those things comes on and on and on and goes away from there in due course of time. So Krishna says that the nature of that soul inside is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is his true nature. Nitya means eternal. He is eternal. He doesn't any time, there's no time, Arjuna, Krishna will say later, he didn't exist. Shuddham, he is pure. He is not affected by any of these things. Buddha is conscious all the time and Mukta is always liberated. So if this is the nature of the soul, Krishna says, you should be identifying with that. That is your real identity. But falsely we identified with the false ego that is generated along with all the other things like mind intelligence. We put all our attention on that false ego, which is doing everything for us in this world, like our activities in this world are all coming from the false ego. The false ego is the cause behind it. So if you identify with the false ego, Krishna is saying that identification will create problems. The moment you shift your attention from the false ego to the soul, then all this identification will go. False identification will go immediately. This is why, if you look into Upanishads, it will say like this. Uttishtada Jagrada. Uttishtada means, first wake up to this reality. That the soul is the important thing. Soul is the reality. Uttishtada. Wake up to that reality first. And once you have woken up, then what else? Jagrada. Not to fall from that, back into this ignorance again. This is how the Jnani's process starts. Uttishtada Jagrada. Prapya Avaran Nibodhada. That constantly tell your mind that the reality is something else than you, the mind. The mind is telling me that I am the reality. And I have to tell the mind, you are not the reality. Mind is something else, is the reality inside. This is all what's happening to Parikshit. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see this. If you think through the whole discussions between Sudeva Goswami, we are thinking Bhagavatam is like a story from beginning to end. So many things happen in so many places at so many times and so much history has been brought in and all these things. But at the end of the Bhagavatam, if you look into 12th canto, you will see there the final departure of Parikshit from this world. The few words that were spoken between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, you will notice there that Parikshit is saying, I am seeing things very clearly now. Everything is clarified. I understand now what I am. So to make you to understand what you are, that's all the whole thing is about. The ignorance in us is so deep, that avidya, what is it called, is so deep that we have completely mistaken everything and identified with the body, mind, senses and so on and so forth. So there he says that Churasyadara Nishidam Duratyaya Durgam Padastat Kavayo Vadandi. This is a statement from Kathavanishad. That it says, Churasyadara Nishidam Duratyaya. In this process, once you get in, of this process of self-realization, what happens is, it is like walking on a razor edge. Walking on a razor edge. When you walk on a razor edge, any time you can fall, isn't it? Because it's so thin. You don't know when you will fall from there, from that consciousness to material consciousness. So, Durgam Padastad Kavayo Vadandi. Learned people are telling us that you have to be alert, alert, alert all the time. Jagrada, Tasmal, Jagrada, Jagrada, Jagrada. It says always alert, alert, alert. Not to allow the mind to fall in that direction. Because the moment you fall into mental platform, mental conditions, what it means is avidya captures you straight away. Then mind will tell you everything, what to do the next. Mind will tell you, oh, this is all not possible to do these things. This is the first thing mind will tell you. Oh, spiritual life is too much. Why do you waste your time on these things? Who knows what will happen? This kind of talk will start from inside. Enemy is not outside. The enemy is inside, who is controlling you. And once he starts speaking to us, the mind, and if we get victimized by that, then we won't get up in the morning. We won't chant. We will stop all that. We will think, let me take a couple of days a retreat from my spiritual life. Our retreat is to material life, not spiritual life. So let me take some retreat and we withdraw for 2-3 days and then again quietly we come back. into it again. So these are natural things happens to everyone in spiritual life. So Krishna was saying this to us because in this situation the only thing that cheats you is your own mind, not anybody else. Your own mind is the cause of your upliftment or fall down. In both cases, your own mind. The examples the acharyas gives is this snake and the rope. Snake and the rope. It's a famous example. In the throat Bhagavatam also you'll find this. Rajasarpam. The rope did not do anything to you. Did it? The rope was lying there. But your mind gave you the impression that it's a snake. Your mind has told you it's a snake. The rope, and later on when the light came on, you came to know that it is not a, it's a snake, it's a rope. So what role the rope has played? Rope hasn't played any role. Rope was lying there as he was. Rope hasn't done anything to you. You have created all these things. Situation within yourself by your own mind, thinking that it is a snake. Along with when the snake, when you realize it was a snake, temporarily, you thought that, the snake is very poisonous. And the fear developed inside straight away. And the fear developed into some other emotions, you know, that I'm going to be killed by the, if the snake bites me. And you start defensive action straight away, defensive yourself. So these are all subsequent things, what happens from that. So Shastras are telling us, this example is given by Lord Brahma also in his Brahma's prayers to Krishna, that Rajasarpam, that nobody has done this to me, I have done it myself. I have created this fear within me. I did not know what the truth was. So in my ignorance, I thought it was a snake. And when the ignorance gone, I understood what it was only a rope. Similarly, in my ignorance, I am thinking this whole creation is the truth. But when the knowledge came to me, I understood it is Maya. And I started seeing the only truth is Krishna. This is how Brahma's praise at that time. So these things are spoken that... how did this happen? Did it happen? Because in my own mind, some sankalpam has developed in that way, isn't it? I have heard about snake before, that snake can bite you and kill you. So that fear was already inside. And I also had an impression of a snake which is looks like a rope coiled around and lying like that. So when all these impressions were inside and when I saw the snake, those impressions, vasanas which were inside, immediately came out. It matched with the object what I have seen. Isn't it? So what do you do? That snake hasn't done anything, nobody has done anything to me. Me, within myself, I created all this world. The sankalpa world or this world of imagination within me, and I'm suffering because of that. So similarly, it's just to give an example. A man was drunk. He was drunk, and he was walking around, and he was carrying a box with him. A box. So every time when he gets drunk, he takes this box in his hand. And he goes home walking with this box in the hand. So he says, somebody told him that what is in this box? He says, in this box there is a mongoose. Do you know what this mongoose is? And he says, so why do you carry this mongoose? He asked him, the man. He says, whenever I am drunk, when I walk through the street and all, I feel that there is a snake somewhere. There is a snake there on the street, and I get frightened when I see the snake. So I carry this mongoose in this box, he said, because mongoose and snake are very inimical each other. Mongoose doesn't feel affected by the poison from the snake. Snakes are very frightened of mongoose. So when the mongooses are running around, you will see the snakes pull back and stay in their holes. They won't come out. This is just the surroundings in the villages. So when this happens, the householders are happy because mongoose is running around. They know the snakes are not there. So this is just the natural way. So what happened here is that he says to him, so but if you if you carry this mongoose in the box, he says,
But there is no snake in the street, the man told this man who is drunk. You know, there's no snake in the street. But why are you frightened about? No, I know that there is no snake, but there is no mongoose either here in the box. I carry this box thinking that there is mongoose inside. What I'm saying is, you have one sankalpam which your mind has created. You kill that sankalpam with another sankalpam in this way. Everything is happening within us. Nothing is happening outside. It's all happening within you. So falsely, we have created a lot of misunderstanding inside. It's all misunderstanding, nothing but misunderstanding about this world, about family life, about spiritual life even. To some extent, a lot of misunderstanding is inside. Just getting rid of this misunderstanding is only thing what we have to do. We don't have to do anything else. Get rid of all the misunderstanding what the mind has created within us. So, as much as when that person said that, look, there is no snake in my, there's no mongoose either in the box, but I believe there is a mongoose inside I'm carrying, so that I know in case when the snake comes, I'll open the box and the snake will be gone. So, what you have created from imagination, you have to kill through another imagination in the same way. If you have that thinking in that way, it would get rid of that fear from inside. All you want is that you want to be fearless about that, peaceful inside. So that is the important thing. Now, why I was saying this was that Arjuna felt very weak, isn't it? When he saw Duryodhana and when he saw all these personalities. Actually, why should he feel weak? It is inside his, the weakness was inside. Duryodhana didn't do anything till now. He's standing there, ready to fight. Bhishma standing, Drona standing, everything there. But as soon as he saw them, he felt weak. Immediately the mind pulled him down. The mind pulled him down straight away. So the weakness happened to the mind. The same thing like the mind does in all situations. So that's where the knowledge is needed. In such a situation, when your mind pulls you back, pulls you down from the truth, that if, as I said before, if Arjuna had seen them as individuals, rather than, oh, they are my relatives, they are my friends, they are my family members, instead of seeing that, if he had just seen them as individuals, he has fought with many people before, why he should have fighting with them? But the knowledge was in there, so therefore, Arjuna had to surrender to his mind. First thing happened to Arjuna is like that. That's why Krishna said, Kshudram Hridaya Daurbhalyam. Hridaya Daurbhalyam it is, what it is. All the great personalities you will notice, they don't have this weakness. They will keep on doing what they have to do in this world, and they will walk out of this world completely free, unaffected by anything. That is what is needed. That capacity to do things at the right time, what you think is the right thing based on Shastram. And here, Krishna has told Arjuna to fight, and Arjuna is having all these problems. So, Arjuna's point was this, that Kshudram Hridaya Daurbhalyam, only the mind has weakened Arjuna in these situations. His attachments to the friends and relatives, and although they are looks as though they are good qualities, Shubhavasana coming from Arjuna, but still it is making Arjuna very weak. Arjuna makes Arjuna very weak. It is the same thing, our attachment in this world also. Our attachment in this world also is like that. It's like a snake, black snake we call it. Khara sarpam, powerful snake. It is always hiding inside. And he will come out. At a time when you need the strength, he will come out and bite you. When he bites you, you fall straight away. Our attachment is like that. You know the truth, that there is nothing in this world that you can hold on to, because everything is false. The world itself is a false thing. To accept this world as reality is foolishness. Because of the nature, Krishna is saying this repeatedly, but it is not getting into our mind, our thoughts, it's not getting in. So the false world, false dealings in this world, all false transactions, false relationships, and in the middle of that you're looking for the truth. The whole thing is false. Everything is false. And they, that is the problem. That is where the problem is. So what has happened now with Arjuna is this so-called attachment to the to these family members and the acharyas and all these things has weakened Arjuna at the time when he needed it most. When he needed the strength to fight, this is why this is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, is to show to us that the weaknesses inside will bite you at the time when you need it, the strength. At the time when you need the strength. So Krishna is saying here that the snake has bitten him at the time, this black snake. So the way that is, that happens, we all know in life, isn't it? We all know in life how this happens. All of us have experienced it sometime or the other. That we can speak all these things each other, but when it comes to the crunch, we get weakened. We feel the weakness at that point. Something happens to someone, close members of the family, then you start thinking, oh, all this Krishna consciousness and Krishna's instructions all forgotten at that point. Then you become very sentimental and very much driven by the situation. Isn't it? That happens to us all the time in life, day to day. But if we cultivate this knowledge, what Krishna is saying, because this is where we have to get ourselves sorted out first. No point in sorting out the world. First we have to sort out within ourselves. And this sorting out means all these things, what Krishna is telling us. This strong attachment to this world. And this, you can see how this will, this Sankalpam is causing inside so much problem, like it has happened to Arjuna. Arjuna has happened the same thing. So many times we can get through this kind of situations in life. Once a person says that he went for to some other place far away for some lecture on Ramayanam or some Shastram he was going to talk. So they invited him, he went there to speak. So when he went there, the organizers have arranged for him a nice facility to stay for that night when he arrived there. Air-conditioned room and all sorts of things, because they could afford to do that, so they gave all the facilities to him to stay. So he traveled in the heat whole day and got there in the evening, and he found places were quite nice to stay overnight. So he was staying in the room. About 10 o'clock or so in the night, the man comes, somebody comes and knocks at the door. So he opened the door. So it was the person who was instructed to look after him. He came with a hot glass of hot milk and gave him, said, "Here, sir, you have this milk which has been prepared for you. And take the milk." He said, "Oh, he got that milk also. Now he wanted to go to sleep." So at that time, he says, he also takes one big stick and hands over to him. He says, "Take, keep this stick with you," he says. So till now, he was very peaceful and he has got his milk and he was going to sleep comfortably and get up in the morning. So this man asked him, "What is this stick for?" He says, "No, I just wanted to tell you something," he said. "I was cleaning the room up today, and I saw a snake there in the room somewhere. Somewhere I saw a snake. I couldn't find him out later. In case you find it in the night, you know, by chance, I thought it may help you, this snake. I couldn't find him anywhere," he said. "Now, you think he will sleep that night?" The sleep is over, isn't it? The sleep is over. So similarly, if we, this is the time, and your all your weakness inside the form of the, you start imagining straight away, what kind of snake is it, how big is it, how poisonous is it, and could it be underneath the bed if I put my feet down, can it get into my suitcase, all sorts of things you start building inside from this one word, what that person has told you, isn't it? Just to show the power of the mind in imagining things and building up a situation around you where you feel fearful about the, and this is what it does with this material world also. All the time, if you look into the televisions, newspapers, and constantly there is a shooting, and there is a stabbing, and there is this and that. Your first thing is, where did this happen? Is it close to our house or not too far away from us? If it's far away, then it doesn't too much give it trouble. All the time it's happening, so what can you do about it? But if it's happened next door, or few houses in the street where you live, then you start thinking, oh, is it not a safe place where I am living? We think the postcode is good, we are living in happily, isn't it? This is all the foolishness in our head. The mind is created. The government is making you feel happy like this, that you are giving a nice postcode you have, so you are okay, you are covered. Postcode is not a guarantee for anything, isn't it? So I'm just saying, the way the mind operates inside, we got to be conscious of. The more you withdraw inside from world and you start becoming reflecting, lot of this misunderstanding will go away from inside. So Krishna is saying here that this asakti means excessive attachment to anything in this world will bring distress at some point or the other. We all suffer through this in our daily life in some form or the other. Objects creates problem. Money creates problem, relationships cause problem, attachment to various objects in this world, all will bring distress at the end. There is no doubt about this. We don't have to think twice. Krishna's creation is like that, Maya's creation is like that. Material wealth, for example, when it goes, you feel misery. You worked all my life and this is what at the end, it's gone. It's gone. Like all the people are saying, like you know, in the people reading the newspapers, the pensioners crying, all their pensions have gone, company goes bust, and whole lifetime you have been so loyal to the company and serving the bosses, thinking that it's there for whole life, but it wasn't there, it's gone. When it has to go, it is gone. Its time is over, it's gone. So if you give attachment to all these things and develop that consciousness inside, like in that way, you will suffer. Therefore, asakti or attachment is a big problem. We have to know where attachment should be. Attachment should be only to the truth. Only to the truth, not to anything false. And the truth is Krishna. Krishna is the truth. And therefore, attachment only to Krishna. Everywhere else, disappointment at the end. That will be the result. So Krishna is saying this, that in this situation, what has Arjuna done? Arjuna has done the most wise thing. That was the wise thing. Wise thing was, he held on to the truth. Truth is Krishna. That was Arjuna's good fortune. That decision Arjuna made, it was the best decision Arjuna has made in his whole life. That too, when such a critical moment came in life, where he was being pulled and tormented by attachment to his relatives and friends and society and all that, he managed to hold on to Krishna. Instead, if you holding on to Krishna, had he held on to Shalya, what would have happened? Imagine that. Shalya would have said to him straight away, look, you can't fight, you're wasting your time here. Like he did to Karna. So Bhagavad Gita is telling us certain things through these examples of Arjuna and Karna and Shalya and all that. That remember this, that your first weakness is your own attachment. You can't blame the world for that. You created within your own mind all this attachment. And if you have not learned to come out of it by holding on to the right solution, which is Krishna, like Arjuna did with Krishna, we have to do exactly the same thing. That in this world, the only truth is Krishna. Everything else is false. If with that understanding, that is why Krishna was called Vijnana Sarathi, isn't it? Vijnana Sarathi, Mana Pragrahavan Nara, that verse in the Kathopanishad. He says, like, Krishna is called Vijnana Sarathi, a charioteer who drives the chariot in knowledge. He will drive you the chariot in the right direction. Nobody else can drive that. When and where we go off the track, the charioteer should be so good, he should pull you back, the chariot, into the right direction. That is the duty of the charioteer. So it's an important position of this Krishna's role in Bhagavad Gita. And if you look into Bhagavad Gita pictures on different cover, you will always see there Krishna shown first sitting there and instructing Arjuna. That picture should always remain in the mind, that Krishna's role there is a very, very critical role, because not to allow the chariot to go in the wrong direction. That Pragramanara, even if we go in the wrong direction, the charioteer should bring it to the right direction. That is the duty of Krishna's duty. Provided we depend on the charioteer in the same way, Krishna is inside. That in many, many great devotees have sung about this. That is the beauty of that. They have sung about this incident in their life, how it happened. Many devotees, if you look into, in different languages, in I'm sure there is in Gujarati, Marathi, Tamil, every language, great devotees if you look, sometime they all speak the same language. This is the beauty of that. We say that, oh, his philosophy is different than this philosophy and all that. That's all in the early stages. But when they have realized the truth, you will see it's an exact photocopy of the realizations. They all speak the same truth. That initially, in ignorance, I've done this thing, that thing, so many nonsense. And Krishna has beaten me up again and again and again and brought me back to the right track all the time. The devotees always speak in that. They held on to Krishna first and then Krishna held on to them. This is what happens. First we hold on to Krishna and then Krishna holds on to us. Then you become fearless. No more fear in life. What will go wrong? Nothing will go wrong because Krishna is holding me. Why should I worry? This strength will come from inside. Then, that one devotee said that I always say it's me and mine. This is the lie I'm always speaking in this world. And this world is full of lies here. And I am suffering from this attachment of me and mine in this world. Because when I look at it, nothing is me, nothing is mine in this world. So with that understanding, and I've been carrying on, and Krishna has done this first time to Arjuna with these two verses. Kutastva kashmalamidam shame samupastidam anarya jushtam aswargam akirtim karam Arjuna. Then klaibhyam asmagamapartha naivatva yupapadyade shudram hridayadorbalyam tekto uttishta parandava. The saying that Krishna has started the discussion that living in this world itself is a false thing. It is a false thing. And because we have to accept a lot of things in this world which are false, almost all the things which are false, I have to realize that they are the truth. Accept that that is the truth. Isn't it? That's how we live in this world. Everything that is false, we have to accept as truth in this world and live on that basis. That along with that, in that mood, we have to do all the transactions in this world. We have haram on this understanding. And these transactions are also false, completely. Is it not? If you think about it, I mean, we know very well that our life in this world can be made a lot simple than the way we live today. It gets more and more complex by our own ignorance we create and complicate it this way. And along with that, there's anger, greed and lust and all other things develops, with the result that we have become more and more fearful of this world, very world, which is a false thing. Yeah? So the transactions are all false. The objects are all false which we are dealing with. The world itself is false, and in that I've got these false dealings going on in the name of me and mine. That is, so looking at everything, it's all false at every step. One thing, but is it finished with that? No. Over and top of all these things, I've created this false ego inside which I have to deal with all the time. So, that snake called this false ego, that has bitten me as well. This is one of the saints who has spoken this. There is Vaishnava saints, they are known as the Alvars in Tamil Nadu. And there is also the Shaiva saints, Shiva devotees, saints. There were 64 of them, and they are called Nayanars. We went to some of their temples when we went last time. So, among that Nayanars, there is one famous one called Manikyavachaka. Manikyavachaka was a great devotee. He fell down from Kailasam to this world. He had to leave because while his time he spent there, he had some illusion developed in his mind, and he had to leave Kailasam and come to material world. But Lord Shiva looked after him. So when he came here, he started seeing this world to some extent, that consciousness from Kailasam. Lord Shiva's abode. And he was saying, this is the world I have to deal with. Everything is false here. the objects are false, it's a temporary thing, the people I have to deal with are false, then this me and mine is very strong in me, over and above that I have got this false ego also in my head, which is making me to think in that way. So therefore, he says that I have gone and come and taken your shelter again. I have no other shelter. Saying this is talks to Lord Shiva in that way, that you look after me now. I cannot look after myself in this, all these things, what is going on here. Yeah. So, sometimes when Krishna gives us some instructions, also we don't take it. We don't want to take it, because it's not tasting us. We don't feel very tasty. Why is that? Because we are used to eating this poison so much. The poison of this false ego and me and mine and all these kind of things what we have got used to so much in this world. So there is no taste for any good instruction that Krishna has given us. That therefore, Manikmachakra says there that every time this happened to me, every time this happened to me, you started beating me up in different ways. Beat me, kept on beating me and bring me back into the right position. But every time I came to the right position, because of my old habit of enjoying the world, I will go back to it again. Once again, I will go back into it. So, it is in that situations that Krishna has to show the mercy to us. Not to allow the mind to fall into laugigam. Laugigam means the materialistic way of life. So then first thing what he does is he sends you a letter. He sends you a letter. Letter means, what it means is that Ramadhamati used to say, if you look at the letter, you will notice that it will be in the form of some distress. That is his first letter. Some distress will come in life. And if you look into the distress carefully, look at it, you will see the beautiful signature of Krishna at the bottom. He says, Krishna's beautiful signature will be there at the bottom. To tell you that, look, you have played enough in this world, stop this now. To tell you that, he will put the first signature, he says. If you have not taken notice of the letter, first thing, then he makes you a phone call. It will be another distress coming in another form. He says, when he sends, he makes you the phone call. And which will be a little bit stronger than the previous one. And when that previous one, and also if you are not taking the call, if you refuse to take the call and deal with the call properly, then he will call you, phone you directly and tell you, and if you are not willing to take the call, then he sends somebody to tell you that this is the reality. That all the time warning you to stop playing in this world with material life. And wasting your time and changing your shifting your attention to the truth. Then Arjuna, you can see here, it's the same truth what has happened. He has taken Krishna's shelter now. Arjuna has taken Krishna's shelter. And Krishna has not spoken one word till now to Arjuna about Bhagavad Gita or about anything like this, about spiritual topics. About spiritual topics, Krishna has never spoken to Arjuna before. All along, Krishna, for many years they were together. There was not once a discussion about between Krishna and Arjuna about the about spiritual topics. And Arjuna confirms this when Krishna left the world. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam in the first canto, if you look, when Arjuna comes back and falls at Yudhishthira's feet. Yudhishthira understood immediately something has happened to Arjuna. At that time, in that verse, you will see Shayasanadanam, while sleeping, while eating, while walking, he was with me. Now he has gone. Krishna has left the world. And Arjuna was crying at that time. So then Yudhishthira understood that something has happened. He understood immediately. Without being asking about Krishna, Yudhishthira understood that Krishna has gone. That's why Arjuna is in this condition. Says like that. In the Bhagavatam you can see that. First canto if you look at it. So prior to this, everything what Krishna, Arjuna has spoken to Krishna, Krishna will say, fine, no problem, carry on. He will say, that was Krishna's attitude. If Arjuna says, I want to do this thing, if it's a bad thing, Krishna says, no problem, go do it. And Arjuna says, I want to do something good, Krishna says, no problem, do it, he says. So you will see in different times what happened between Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna says to Arjuna, as I mentioned this before, Arjuna says to Krishna I want to marry Subhadra. Oh, take her, go, no problem. This is so relaxed about it. Krishna has no problem with anything. Krishna's nature is like that. You say to Krishna, I want to go and cheat a lot of people. Krishna says, go and do it. And or you say to Krishna that I want to do something to please you. Krishna says, do it. Everything, okay. That is Krishna's mood all the time. In all situations, Krishna will say, okay, go ahead to that. So that is the freedom what we have got. When we talk about our individual freedom, we say, isn't it? This is the freedom. We want to do something, go and do it, Krishna will say. But whether come out or success or not, that's another issue. But if you want to do it, do it. That's your choice. That's freedom. You have that, Krishna says. Then, same thing Arjuna told Krishna, drive the chariot and park it there. Krishna says, alright, park the chariot wherever he wanted. And Krishna has no Shudram Hrudaya Daurbhalyam Teko Tishta Parandava. So at least at that time Krishna saw that Arjuna is too much in distress. Distress, Krishna says, if anybody is in distress, the reason for that is ignorance. This is the Shastri conclusion. We are not meant to be in distress. Distress is only because of ignorance, ajnanam. Ajnanam is the cause of avidya. Avidya is the cause of this misery, what we feel is dukkham. Dukkham and avidya go side by side. And therefore, one who is in distress, Krishna is saying to us that in Arjuna Vishada Yogam, the first chapter you have seen, all stories fall about distress, isn't it? Arjuna's distress. So, in the second chapter now, what you are seeing here is that when somebody is in distress like that, all the Mahatmas, you will see one thing about them. If you go to them with the distress in you to tell them what's the solution, they will not show any emotion. Have you noticed that? If you go to any great personalities, great Mahatmas, you go to them with your problems in life, thinking that you will find a solution there. They will wait till you finish what you have to say. You keep on saying this happened, that happened, and I'm suffering from this, suffering from that. They will not show any emotion. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Because they are on a different plane. They are on the same plane as we are. Because they know you come with distress. And distress is ignorance. Nothing but ignorance. So why should they jump into the same boat as we have got in? When we are suffering with our distress and our ignorance, they don't come to that level. They will stay out of it. So therefore, they won't say one word. They will not say what you are saying is the truth. Neither they will tell you what you are saying is all nonsense. They will just keep quiet. They wait till you finish. Same thing happened here. The whole first chapter, Arjuna spoke, Krishna listened. Second chapter, now when Arjuna stops, Krishna will start talking. So here, what you see here is that in these two verses, Krishna has spoken now and then looked at Arjuna. You can see Krishna's thinking and that going through, what goes through. Looked at Arjuna and he understood that Arjuna is not finished yet. So he's willing to wait again. That's why the next three verses you see Arjuna talking again. Krishna is not going to open his mouth and start talking the truth till Arjuna stops. That is absolute. Because a person is not ready to listen, there is no point in talking to him. Isn't it? Shravanam is a big thing. Hearing is just not hearing with my eyes and putting an earphone and saying that I'm hearing everything what you're saying. Sometimes if you observe people, you will notice. Two people are talking. The one is waiting for the other to finish to start. And everything this person is saying, the other person may not be hearing. His mind will be somewhere else. This person will keep on saying, the other person won't be listening. As soon as he stops his distress, the other person starts his distress, what he's going through. So this way most of the conversations goes on. But transcendentally situated, spiritually realized soul don't involve in this kind of conversations like we do in this world, isn't it? With all our miseries. They don't have miseries. They are not suffering. So they can do that. They can afford to wait till we finish. So Arjuna, if you look at here now, what has happened is, the next two verses, if you look here, what he has spoken, that says, Arjuna vacha, katham bhishmamaham sanghe dronanja madhusudana ishtubi pratiyolsyami pujarha arisudana guru na hatva hi mahanubhavan shreyo bhoktam vaikshamabhi haloge hatvartha kamam stu guru nihaiva bunjiya bhogan tudra pradigdhan na jaidad vidma kudaranno gariyo yadva jayeme yadivano jayeyu yadivano jayeyu yaneva hatva na jijivishama stevastida pramukha dartharashtra pramukhe dartharashtram. That all these verses shows that these three verses particularly is showing to us that Arjuna has not stopped talking yet. That so Krishna is waiting again, not saying anything. Let Arjuna talk, let him finish what he has to say, isn't it? For you present the truth to Arjuna, that better to wait till he finishes. So that is what these three verses are. Katham Vishmamaham Sanghe Dronam Jamadusudana Ishubi Pratiyolsyami Pujarha Arisudana Guru Nahatwa Himahanubhavan Shreyo Bhoktam Vaikshamabhi Haloke Hatwartha Kamam Stuguru Nihaiva Munjiya Bhogan Rudira Pradigdhan. Then Najaida Dhidma Kudaran No Gariyo Yadva Jayeme Yadiva No Jayeyu Yaneva Hitva Najiji Vishama Stevastida Pramukhe Dhartarashtraha. So on those three verses, you can see the translation, you can read through, you'll see there that are very simple verses saying there, Bhishma and Drona, how can I fight against them? That's what he's saying. That how can I fight against him, Madhusudana, addressing Arjuna, Krishna, he says, Bhishma and Drona, who are worshipable with flowers, how can I shoot the arrows against them and fight against them? This is that first words. We should be pratiyolsyami pujarha arisudana. They are qualified to be worshipped by flowers, rather, how can I shoot these arrows towards them? And in the next verse, he said that it is better, this is Arjuna's philosophy now coming out. He says, rather than killing all these great personalities, guru, acharyas, and fighting against them, it is better I beg and eat the food in that way, and rather than living by killing them. And particularly, Arthagaman, who has got these acharyas, they have got desire for wealth. And I think the best thing is, if I do kill them at this stage, I may have to live in this material world, and the result will be that I will be enjoying whatever I am enjoying here, it is all tainted with blood. My enjoyment will not be happiness at all. This also shows that considerate nature of Arjuna, which is a higher quality of a person, that to think that whatever I do in this world, I don't cause distress to somebody else in any way. In all our dealings in this world, this is a higher quality of a person. Person with a higher quality. Persons with lower qualities, what do? They think, you go to hell, I'll do what I like. This is the lower nature. The higher nature is that to think, how my activity, how does it affect others? I don't want any happiness at the cost of others' misery. In every level, in every step in life, this is a highly cultured nature of a person. That's what's coming from Arjuna's side, which we don't see in this world anymore. Majority of life, people deal in another way. Their dealings, if it suits me, well, good. If it doesn't suit you, that's your problem, it's not my problem. This attitude has developed so strongly in the world. Therefore, we have become like this. We have problem at every step. But Krishna is saying, and to why Arjuna's this quality is outspoken here, that he is seeing this, that I don't want any happiness in this world at the cost of so many other people's distress. Whether it is Bhishma or Drona or even Duryodhana, he is being considerate to them, saying this. Because if Duryodhana is killed, Dhritarashtra will become upset about it. I don't want to create pain for them. So that shows that the highly cultured mind of Arjuna. the consciousness inside, the nature of a person. Na jayida dvidmak kudaranno gariyo yadva jayimi idivano jayayu yane vahitva na jijivishama stevastita pramukhe dhartarashtra. It says here, either we will win over them or Duryodhana and others will win over us. I don't know what is the best thing for me in this situation. That by killing whom we don't want to live in this world anymore, they themselves have come here against us. The thing what Arjuna did not want, the Pandavas did not want, that by killing whom the Kauravas, because they are in the same family, Puru's dynasty, isn't it? Puru's family, they are coming. And two brothers' children there, that's what it is. Dhritarashtra and Pandu were brothers. So, by killing that family members, if I want to be happy in this world, we will rather live without that. That is Arjuna's mood at that time. So Arjuna has spoken all these things. And then, even if we win the battle, it is as good as we have lost it. Because what do we gain after we killed all these people and we got the land? What am I supposed to enjoy with? Because for happiness in this world also, you need other people to be with you, isn't it? You killed everyone. And then you got everything to yourself. Then what do you enjoy then with all that wealth? That was the question. Sridharajari Swamiji's comment is there. The same, he is saying the same thing on that. So, all these things have happened. And it wasn't then that Arjuna is saying here that that Arjuna's surrender in this verse also shows that Krishna is saying that he is not finished. Let him dry up inside with what he has to say. That there, because this is a principle that as still Arjuna is not ready to listen yet. That's the point. What Krishna is making. You see how carefully Krishna is waiting for the right time to come. Because if you speak to people when they are not ready, it won't have any effect. Mm-hmm. You have to wait till that person is ready to hear. Only then you should speak to them. Especially spiritual messages. So in the case of Arjuna also, what you are seeing that Krishna is observing very carefully Arjuna's mood. And as and when Arjuna is coming out with this kind of things, what he has spoken here, Krishna says that you are not ready. And therefore he is willing to wait till he is finished. To hear something, and only if you hear in that proper stage, it will have its effect on you. Isn't it? Suppose your mind is all disturbed and all the time it is going in millions of directions. If somebody tells you something, it won't register inside and you won't give any importance to it. Because your problems are overpowered over the solution what they have offered you. And generally, Shravanam is not a easy thing. Shravanam is not a easy thing. Therefore, that's why it is said that to hear things from the nature is important. Unfortunately, we don't get that opportunity in the world today because our lifestyle is like that. Krishna has set it up everything so perfectly. If you observe how the birds in the morning, how they talk to each other, their language, who has got the time to listen to all that? And similarly, so many things in this world, in Krishna's creation, in a natural way, it is indicating to us how important it is to hear things. That hearing nature, because it's from hearing that our thought process starts working properly. If you have heard the good things inside, your thoughts will also be good. If you have heard bad things, if you have pulled in all the garbage in this world inside, naturally the thoughts also that is building up inside will be exactly the same thing. That they give examples of this birds chirping, the wind blowing, all these kinds are nature's arrangement to create this sound. And if we develop this habit of hearing in depth, very subtle things in this world, and then you'll be able to think also in a deeper level. This is another important point. That if you have developed the habit of hearing on a much deeper level, that means very subtle things in this world which common man does not observe. As we hear the sound in the motorway, the flights on the top. This is every morning we get up. This is first thing what we hear, the motorway and the flights. So if you hear this every day after day after day in the morning and in the evening before we go to bed, is there any wonder the mind is also disturbed, everyone's mind? Because cut off from the nature, completely moving away from the nature, this is what happens. For our peaceful existence, Krishna has made the birds to create this sound. For all peaceful existence, the wind creates this sound for us. But we ignore all that. We take to our own sound, what we create as the more auspicious, and we follow that. That's what Krishna is saying here, that up to this point, that if your hearing is in deeper level, even in silence, you will notice a lot of things happening inside that you can hear. Sharanam is not an easy process. So Krishna didn't open his mouth. In the Upanishads also, you will notice exactly the same thing. They give so much importance to hearing. They call three stages: Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Shravanam means hearing first. First hearing properly. Then after that, Mananam. Mananam is this process of chewing it through what you have heard. It all shows to us how conscious we have to be about what is going on inside. We are habituated to dealing with the world outside all the time, isn't it? Always on the defensive. Oh, if the car comes this way, I'm on the right lane, I'm driving. Oh, has he put the indicator? This way, totally beware of the external world. And in this life, we go on like this. It's like a motorway traffic from beginning to end. So Krishna says that if you develop this habit, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, these are three important things. Shravanam is hearing, Mananam is chewing what you have heard. And you can see, in order to do these things, you need some silence and peace at home. Peace in your own life, isn't it? Free from all kinds of involvement from outside world. And that's why, you know, when we talk about association and all that, we have to be very careful. It's not that just I got involved with hundreds of people and doing all things what they're doing and associating, I'm associating. Association is with inside what you associate, not with outside with the body. Bodily association only lasts till the body is finished, it's gone. But inside association is a higher thing. That requires a much more subtle level, the understanding. So, Shravanam, Mananam, chewing what has gone in a peaceful situation. Then, after chewing everything, what is known as Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam means that you have come to some realization of the truth. Everybody gets some realization of the truth that I am not this body. It gets some firm footing inside. And material existence is a temporary thing. Material miseries are temporary, happiness is also temporary. In that way, the mind slowly starts withdrawing from this world to some degree. So when you get that, able to hold on to that, that is called Nididhyasanam. Able to hold on to that realization. It may not last very long. Initially, it may last for an hour, sometimes for a few hours, sometimes for a few days. But you will come out of it. Eventually you will come back to this material consciousness again. But if you keep on doing this over a long period of time, you will start winning. The material world will not be able to touch you. It will not have to have any impact on you. You will become free from that influence of this world. That is why Krishna is waiting to say so many things to Arjuna now. That he says here that when this Shravanam process becomes serious, which is called Andhrika Shravanam. Andhrika Shravanam means the Shravanam inside. Not the with the ears, but the Shravanam inside. What's the Shravanam inside? Shravanam inside is that as long as this spiritual knowledge goes in and it starts showing its impact on your thoughts, immediately you will see that there is some effect on the relationship with the soul as well. The soul is talking now. Soul is started slowly waking up there. And he shows his presence to you. You will experience that. That is that bringing that peace inside. When you get experience peace within, it's only coming from the soul. Its soul by nature is peaceful and full of bliss. So when the mind is absorbed with the world outside, you suffer. When the mind starts interacting with the soul, it starts experiencing joy from that. That is called that is called Spurti. In Shastram, the word used is Spurti. Spurti means the soul start telling you, Aham, Aham, I am, I am. You start realizing that I am that, that's all. That won't happen in a for forever. It will happen for some now and then. You will get this realization, I am that soul. Aham, Aham. So, till that realization come, and hearing that little bit and reflecting on that is mananam, inside mind. So, aham bodham, that consciousness also is mahanididhyasanam. As I mean, that consciousness, when it stays like that. So, till now, Arjuna is not ready for listening in that level, because there is so much grief inside, distress inside, and lot of words are coming out, so Krishna is waiting, not able to say anything. Therefore, no instructions have been given. So, Krishna's position is like this. Till Arjuna comes to the point that he is mumuchato. Mumuchato means he wants to get out of this material existence. That mumuchato comes to a person, instruction should not be given. This is what Shastras are saying. It's a big thing. That spiritual instruction, if you just propagate freely in this world, it will have only very little effect. Whereas if a person is ready, in his own mind he has come to the point that I am ready now. I have seen this world enough, I had enough of it. I want to get out of this materialistic existence and I want to find out the truth. If all this from inside, the thoughts have come strongly, he is called a mumukshu. Mumukshu means one who wants, looking for moksha, for liberation. To such a person, if you give the message once, that will work. It doesn't require a constant hammering all the time. Once it's spoken the truth, that will work for him. So all the great acharyas and great devotees, they wait for this to happen in a person. In Upanishads, I mentioned this before, this is the same pattern of things that they have followed. You will see, I mentioned this story before. Yajnavalkya went to Janaka Maharaj's palace. Janaka Maharaj wanted to discuss about Brahman, absolute truth. And he wanted to hear from the sages present there. And the Brahmanas were also present there. There were so many qualified, educated, learned Brahmanas present there. So, who can explain the truth? And Janaka Maharaj asked that he will be given these thousands of cows with their horns covered in gold. And all the Brahmanas were sitting there. Nobody was able to get up and speak because they didn't have that realization within. So they were keeping quiet. Yajnavalkya Maharshi got up and said to his one of his disciples, take all those cows and go home, he said. Because Yajnavalkya knew once he does that, the others will wake up and start talking. So when he did that, the Brahmanas got up and said to Yajnavalkya Maharshi, that the question has not been even answered. You start taking the cows away. So Yajnavalkya Maharshi says that, do you think that this 10,000 cows is equal, it is the proper compensation for this knowledge? If you think like that, you are mistaken, he says. And this is nothing, it's not at all sufficient for the knowledge about the soul, he says to him. And then, not only that, right now I want the cows, so I'm taking the cows, he says. But Yajnavalkya Maharshi is not arrogant. Don't misunderstand that way. He's not arrogant. He knows it's no point in talking to all these Brahmanas who are present there of a topic for which they are not ready yet. They are not ready yet to hear about this topic, so there's no point in me talking to them about it. So Brahmanas got up in angry and they left the place. Janaka Maharaj didn't say one word. Why? Janaka Maharaj knew that Yajnavalkya is a realized soul, and Yajnavalkya knew Janaka Maharaj is ready to hear the truth. Because Janaka's, all the members of that family, this is the beauty of Siddhadevi's family. Siddhadevi's family members all were self-realized souls, all the time. This is a special benediction given to them by Ramachandra. That everyone who appears in that family will always be self-realized. And that's confirmed in the Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami. Everybody. That's why Janaka is not only one. There were many Janakas, 1, 2, 3, like that, different types. But because they were all self-realized souls, that that Yajnavalkya knew it's worthwhile talking to him about the nature of the truth. Only with him I can discuss this topic. So he wanted them to go. So for he used this as an opportunity to get rid of them from there. They walked out from there. But they were looking for the cows. Janaka Maharaj was looking for the truth. That was the difference. So lot of things in Upanishads, when you keep on thinking, why did it happen this? And if, that's why where you require the help of the commentators, Acharya's commentary. They will bring out the truth very nicely from Upanishads to explain to us. Truth is not freely available. There is a state of mind to be able to receive that in the proper way. So Yajnavalkya says like that, he said to them that without this, I am not going to speak about this. Yajnavalkya told Janaka Maharaj that the maturity for hearing the truth, Janaka Maharaj has reached that state of consciousness. There is an Upanishad called Prashna Upanishad. Isha Kena Katha Prashna. It's a small Upanishad, not about 20-30 pages. There's not many mantras inside. In that Prashna Upanishad, what happens is that the children come to the teacher, to the Gurukulam. They come there. And when the disciples, the students have come, they're only young boys, 7, 8, 10 years old boys. They have come to the teacher and they will ask questions to the teacher. Every time they ask the questions, he says, come to me after 10 years. Says, stay here with me, but after 10 years I'll give you the answer. They say to these children. So many different boys are asking questions. And to each one of them he's saying, I'll give the answer after 10 years. So children, they were sent by the parents there, and the children knew that they can't go back because parents have sent. So they will stay there. Why is like that? Because Shravanam, they are not ready yet. And the guru should be able to know that when he is ready to hear the message. Only when he is ready, he will give the message. And once it's given, that's it. It's through. The message is through. Only after that, they will send them home back. So, right from the age of, say, 7, 8, when they go to Gurukulam, right up the age of 25, you have something like about 18, 20 years' time, this is what happens in Gurukulam. Very simple lifestyle. And in this 18, 20 years, the guru decides when he is ready to hear the message. They will observe each student to what level he has come to. What level he has come to. And he will keep on telling them. And in the same Prashnamishad only, this is talking about it like this. Because Shravanam is a very, very, very subtle thing. Very, very subtle thing. And unless it is done, unless it is done in the right time, in the right frame of mind, it will not have any effect. Sometimes you also notice, you can see, you talk to some people, sometimes you get, this is not always, but sometimes people will come, see, meet somebody, and they say, oh, I got a question. He says, I want to ask you a question. And basically what it is they want somebody to listen to what they have got to say. So they'll come with this word, I got a question. But actually, his question, if you start saying anything, they won't listen. So there's no point in telling them. The only thing what you can do is to listen. And in the process of saying to you about their question, they keep on talking so many things. Keep on listening, all that. They also forget what their question is in the process for which they had come to tell you about it. So all these things you normally experience sometimes. And some people have got 10 questions, part 1, part 2, like that. So all these questions will come to a stop one day but they are not ready for listening. That's why it is. They've got lot of ideas in their mind about the truth, how to realize the truth. And plus, they are experiencing a lot of distress also in this world, in different ways. When it is like that, the whole mind is absorbed in all these things, so they want somebody to listen to them, what they are saying. So then they will want to talk, so they've got somebody to talk to, so they'll talk. So when they talk, you have to just have to sit and listen everything, unaffected by everything what what they are saying. That's all what you can do about it. This is our state in this life. You don't have, you can't think bad about it, but we go through this in life all the time till we hit the right place. Krishna's Lord's feet. We'll carry on all these things in our life as a solution to the problem. And if when they come and talk to you, if you say something in the middle, they won't listen. They will go on and on and on. And then that's where it is more difficulty. Then Krishna said some things here which are very, very heavy. That klaibhyam asmagam apartha naivato yubavadyade shudram hridaya dorbhalyam and he also mentioned that people whom I should be worshipping with flowers, you are telling me that I have to fight and shoot at them. That is not, if I do that, the result will be I will suffer from that. Therefore, I am not willing to fight. It is better I go begging for food. And all arthagamam, that they all want wealth and they want position and control in this world. I don't need all these things. I'm not going to kill them. I don't want to enjoy the result of all these things. He said like that. Then what is that happens after that is that that, as I mentioned before, that when you go to great souls, great personalities, you go and tell them your problems, they will just sit there. They will wait till you finish. They won't react to anything what you say. What you will also notice, whatever you tell them, it will bounce back at you. Because they are fixed. They are not wavering in their mind. So whenever you send a message to them, it will hit that solid wall inside, which is preventing anything to go in. Because if he takes everything seriously what you have said to him, then he will need somebody else to correct him. Isn't it? So normally, all the great Mahatmas, they will not show any emotions when you tell them. After a while, all you have spoken will hit him and comes back to you. When it comes back to you, it is then that you start thinking there is something wrong here. It is normal thing. It happens. That's when you stop. That's when you stop talking. So here, Arjuna's situation is also like that. Every Krishna, Krishna is perfect, isn't it? Absolute perfect is Krishna. Transcendental, totally transcendental. As I mentioned before, he can do anything in this world and still stand there and look at and laugh at the whole thing. What's going on? That's Krishna. Whereas Arjuna immediately got affected by the little thing of this Mahabharata. There's not one Mahabharata war in millions of universes, millions of Mahabharata war will be going on. Unaffected, Krishna is not bothered about all that. He says whatever that happens within himself, he is clear what he is. So that is Ishvara, Supreme Controller. Complete, absolute truth, isn't it? So here, in Arjuna's case, what's happened is that he spoke all these things. He's not even talking to another acharya or a great devotee or a jnani. He's talking to the absolute truth himself. So you can imagine what impact will it have on the truth. Truth is so solid that it cannot be touched by anything, any ignorance. No ignorance can touch that. Arjuna's words of ignorance has no impact on that truth. Truth remains as the truth all the time. So here, because it was like that, the truth is so solid, very quickly Arjuna started realizing everything that he has sent to him is all coming back to him again without any impact on him. So he said, that is why you can see the shift happening in Arjuna. Arjuna is saying now, I don't know what is the right thing, he says. Shrestham, what is the best to do in this situation? So earlier he told him to drive the chariot and park there. And now he's at least admitting his ignorance, error inside. So he says, I don't know what is the best thing to do. And then all these things what he spoke, that I don't want to live in this world without their help. So something it is showing here, that there is some problem in Arjuna's mind. It started building up. There is some problem somewhere. And this is a big step in our life, if we recognize this, that there is a problem. A mad person, when you take him to your doctor, and if he started recognizing that he has got madness, that itself is a big progress in his disease. You know, that a mad person never thinks he is mad, does he? He never thinks that he is mad. So once it's a very interesting story. You know, in Lahore, in Pakistan today, now it's in Pakistan, previously it was in India. When Nehru became Prime Minister, he was very famous, wasn't he? Nehru was so famous. So Nehru went to Lahore, and there was one mad people's hospital there. Mad people's hospital. So he went to this mad people's hospital, and there were so many people who were admitted there due to madness, to patients there. So one of them was getting discharged from the hospital after he has been cured. That's what they said, he has cured. So Nehru visited this hospital, and Prime Minister Nehru, at that time partition has happened, all those unfortunate incidents what happened after the partition, but still Pakistan was at that time in a state of flux and things were not very clear. And Lahore, Nehru went there as a goodwill mission or something, so they took him to this hospital, and Nehru met these people there. This person was leaving the hospital. It's a very funny story when you think about it. He was leaving the hospital, and Nehru was asked to hand him over a garland and a bunch of flowers as a mark of talk of things, to recognition of his getting cleared from the madness, right? So he says, who are you? He asks this madman who is leaving. He says, I'm Jawaharlal Nehru, he says. So the real Nehru, who says, thinking to him, that this person, is he really cured? He says. So what did he do? He straight away asked the question back, who are you? So this man is saying, our real Nehru is telling him that I'm Jawaharlal Nehru, he says. So this person says, I was also thinking I'm Jawaharlal Nehru, he says. What I'm saying is that this real Jawaharlal Nehru, who is thinking Jawaharlal Nehru, he's not real Jawaharlal Nehru, because his real identity is spirit soul. He's not Jawaharlal Nehru. This man, out of his madness, he is thinking I am Jawaharlal Nehru, because Jawaharlal Nehru was so popular at that time. So in our madness, we identified with this body and we think we are okay, we are perfect, everything is fine with us. Krishna is saying we are all mad. Actually, you are all mad. That's what he is indirectly telling us. He's telling us all these names and designations you have accepted is all your madness. That's not my problem. I can't do anything about it. Like this madman was telling Jawaharlal Nehru. So in these situations, that is why if a mad person, when he comes to a doctor, and if he starts at least admitting that I have a problem, that itself is a first step in the right direction. Or he is at least recognizing that. No mad person will admit that he has got madness. He will say, he's alright, I'm normal. And as I mentioned, though, that this madness is something which you cannot cure like that easily. But that I do not know Arjuna's madness situation now, where he is. He's not mad in the sense that, like we call the mad people, because it has not completely come out. But something is going on inside. As far as Shastram is concerned, he is in a state of madness. But at least he started admitting that I do not know. That itself is a big positive thing in the right direction. So even then Krishna is waiting, not starting instruction straight away. You see, in spite of the fact that he has admitted what is the right thing to do, he asked the question, isn't it? Still, Krishna didn't talk. That's the beauty of it. Krishna says he's not ready yet. He's not ready yet. There is a story Panchandra Katha. It's a katha, it's a story there. That when you give advice, you have to be very careful to whom you are giving it. And you have to make sure that the person is ready to take it. Otherwise, you should not give it. The story is like this. One monkey decided, in a winter day, he was feeling cold. So what he did was, he collected all the leaves from the trees, you know, the dry leaves, brought it together. And he wanted to set fire to it so that he can warm up his body. There was no fire anywhere. So what he did was, you know, this glowworm which moves around in the night, it keeps on sparkling, but there's no fire in that. It's only glows, isn't it? It has got its body like that, wings or something which glows in the darkness. So the monkey thought, this is a fire, and caught hold of one of them and brought it inside the leaves and put it, and he started blowing it to fire to develop. The monkey's brain, it started. So there was one bird, a little bird, who was sitting there on the branch of the tree. And this bird was watching this, what the monkey was doing. So bird thought, probably this monkey doesn't know what he is doing. Let me give him some advice to him. So the bird goes to the monkey and says to the monkey, "Monkey, it is only a glowworm. It won't catch fire. There's no fire in that," he says. Monkey got angry with the bird and says to him, "You don't know anything. Get out of here," he says. So the bird flew off from there, went and sat in the branch again. Again he started blowing with this glowworm inside to develop. The fire is not building up. So after a long time, this bird felt sorry for the monkey, seeing his situation, came down again and said to the monkey that what you are doing is wasting your time. No, there is no fire in that glowworm. Again he kept repeating the same thing. The bird said, monkey said, "You don't know anything," and thing smacked the bird. The bird died on the spot. It died. So what does it show? The Panchatantram says that in such situations, if you give advice to people, this will be the result. So advice is to be given when you know fully well that the person is ready to receive it. Otherwise it should not be given. If you give, it won't have any benefit from that. This is why traditionally in spiritual life, a person has to prepare himself to come to that platform of reception, of receiving that knowledge. You should be ready for that. If you do it in a massive scale, then many times it will be a waste of time. It won't have any impact on the people. It won't have any impact on them. They are not ready for it. So what's the point in pointing and smashing it on their head? Probably it may end up in you losing your life in that process. So they're not ready for spiritual life. So that, therefore, it requires that preparation. That's what we are discussing. Krishna was saying this. What a disciple should develop in his nature before approaching a spiritual master. For this reason only, that he doesn't waste others' time unnecessarily. So that's what the point he was making. That this stage when you are ready for receiving that direct instruction from a spiritual master properly can happen after sometimes many, many years of life in this world. There was great, great scholars in this world. There was a famous person called Kavyakanta Ganapati. He was a very well-known scholar. And in his time, he had 10,000 disciples, over 10,000 disciples. Highly learned in all the shastra. And very, very sharp brain. This Kavyakanta Ganapati Muni, he was called as. Any question you ask him, he has an answer straight away for that. He has an answer for that. Apart from that, a great yogi as well. Ashtanga Yogam, he has mastered it. Kundalini Shakti has started raising inside. Even that experience he had. So Kundalini Yoga he had, Raja Yoga he has practiced. He has already this high amount of knowledge inside everything. In spite of all these things, he felt once that I have not realized the truth yet. So many things have happened, but I have not realized the truth yet. It is then that, in one day, he goes to see Ramana Maharshi at that time, who lived, and says to Ramana Maharshi, "This is my situation. Please help me." Said, imagine that humility in that person. That in spite of going up so high, he had disciples with whom he had discussed spiritual topics and given them so many instructions on spiritual life and all that. He felt at that stage that I need help. He recognized that in spite of all this in my life, I haven't realized the truth yet. And that's when there is a conversation between Ramana Maharshi and Kavyakanta Ganapati. You can read that on different books. So Ramana Maharshi is taking him step by step to the truth closer. Because Ramana Maharshi at that was a self-realized soul. He could speak from that position very well. So that discussions is indicating to us that spiritual truth is not a cheap thing. It requires a very, very, very high amount of effort before we can get closer to it, anywhere closer to it. So, so you will also notice that all those who have inquired about the truth in this world is like that. Here, the important thing to remember is this, that it is not that they were looking for knowledge. They were not, none of the great soul who became self-realized, they were not looking for knowledge. They were looking for the truth, which is two different things. Which is two different things. Intellectual level, we are looking for knowledge. Isn't it? That is why sometimes they'll say, oh, can you tell me some technique for realizing the truth? Because they think that due to some technique that you can get it. You cannot get it by technique. What will happen is that if your desire gets very strong inside, Upanishad says, you'll be running in this world as though your head is caught on fire. To that extent, the desire will be so strong inside for spiritual realization. It has to come to that stage, he says. At that time, if you meet the right person, it will have immediate effect on the person. So these are from the history. You can notice that the why I'm saying all these things is Krishna is still hesitating to talk, even at this point. Even at this point, Arjuna is in distress, severe distress. Arjuna is also does not want to fight the war. And Krishna has taken up the role of charioteer. Arjuna is also feeling the necessity to run away from there and take to sannyasam or begging or whatever he says, whatever he has spoken there. And even Arjuna has said that asking for advice, even that Arjuna has done. Tell me what I should do, what is my choice here? I don't think this is the right thing for me to do, and this is the next option, alternative I have. Even that Arjuna said, and Krishna is not answering still. So just see how much Krishna is waiting. Throughout life, so many years, Arjuna and Krishna were together, ever since they were friends like that. And never once Arjuna talked one word about Bhagavad Gita to Krishna never spoke one word to Arjuna. Anything related to soul, anything related to self-realization, nothing was spoken. Why? Arjuna was not ready. Arjuna was not ready, so what's the point in talking? Is there any point in talking? The great personalities, they will value their words. They won't waste their words unnecessarily. They have a value for it. And especially a topic like this. Otherwise Krishna could have said, look, Arjuna, I give you some puzzles and quizzes. You solve this, solve this. You'll be realized yourself. They are not like that. They have a serious gravity in their thoughts and activities. Imagine if this is normal with all the great souls about Krishna, what can I say? What can you say? Supreme Absolute Truth would not waste his one word for nothing. He's not wasting his time here. He has come here with a special mission, and when the mission is over, he left in the same mood as he came here. There was no difference when he came and when he left. The same transcendental nature in him. So, Absolute Truth has its own characteristics, nature. We are driven by emotions and thoughts and feelings and love and all kinds of things. There's nothing like that there. There it's higher than all these things. So, when Krishna said, what I'm saying was, just look at Krishna's words to Arjuna. Still waiting to come to that state when Krishna feels Arjuna is ready. Krishna wants to feel Arjuna is ready. Before that, he doesn't want to talk. This is what all these verses are telling us. That, but once it's Arjuna's position is like this. Arjuna was his dear friend, and still he will not instruct him. When Arjuna noticed that Krishna is not saying anything, still, in spite of all that, Arjuna understood there is somewhere something seriously wrong with me, because it's not normal with Arjuna, Krishna, not to say anything. Whenever I have played with him and joked with him, he always responded. But in this particular situation, Krishna is not saying one word. So that has made Arjuna to think a little bit more deeper. In other words, Arjuna is getting ready for this. I am taking this in a very, very slow pace to make sure that you get these different steps in life clear. That spiritual life is not something like this you can do. It takes its own time, its own state of mind. And when it will work, and what situation it will work, how Bhagavad Gita is teaching us, all these things, important things. So right up to this point, Arjuna has been thinking that I have spoken all these things, Krishna has not responded, not any sign of any emotions from Krishna's side. The result of all that, it came out another verse from Arjuna. That is the next verse. Karpanya dosha vahada svabhava prachavitvam dharma samuda chedaha yachrayasyal nishchidam bruhi tanme shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. That is the most famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. One of the most famous verses. Karpanya dosha vahada svabhava prachavitvam dharma samuda chedaha yachrayasyal nishchidam bruhi tanme shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. Karpanya dosha vahada svabhava. What is Karpanya dosham? Karpanya dosham, I have become Kripana, he says. I have become Kripana. Arjuna is recognizing that I am a miserly person because I am thinking about myself too much, my happiness. That itself is my Kripanatvam, Karpanya nature in me. Then, the when we have such base qualities, Kripanatvam is one of that, Karpanyada. When you have base qualities, Shastra is saying to us that it will not, even my dharma, or the dharma what I have to execute, dharma samuda chedaha, I am confused in my dharma, prachami, I am asking you, help me, what is the bet nishchidam, the right solution for this problem, what is the right thing to how to deal with it, shreyasyal, what will give me shreyas, ultimate happiness, peace, tal bruhi, please say that to me, aham, I am te shishyaha, I am your disciple. Tvam, I have taken your shelter, prabannam, anishadhimam, then instruct me on this. Please instruct me on this. Now, what does this verse indicating to us? This is indicating to us this important thing, that Arjuna would have never spoken like this to Krishna any time before. To say, you see, they are two friends, remember this always. They are just two friends, isn't it? Among friends, one to tell the other, look, I surrender unto you, is very difficult. Very, very difficult between two friends, isn't it? Because they are equal level. On an equal level, they deal with each other all the time. So for Arjuna, the difficulty was that this surrender hasn't happened till now. This surrender. Shishyasteham, I am your disciple, Arjuna is saying, and you are my spiritual master. To say this from one friend to another, it's a pretty difficult job in this world, isn't it? Because see, our conditioning is like that. But Arjuna is ready for that. That is what made Krishna to speak. Shishyasteham, I am your disciple, he says, instruct me. So, because they are Vedic culture, followers of Vedic culture, they understand what it means. Shishya means, what Guru means. In the modern world, we have to tell what a Guru is, what a Shishya is first, both, before we can say anything to anybody. And then we make a mockery of the whole thing, what it is. So, Shishya is somebody who has understood this, and he should be able to say this to the Guru, that I have come to you, taking complete shelter. I'm completely bewildered. I don't know what to do. I'm completely confused and I'm lost myself. You know, unless we reach that state of consciousness, we can't ask the question directly to the spiritual master properly. To ask the question also, your mind should be in the proper frame. In other words, you should feel the grief within you that you want some instruction, some clarity, some proper guidance from a higher authority. That's why you surrender to the higher authority. That is why we say that higher authority is Krishna. Higher authority is Krishna. That Krishna presents in this world as himself as a spiritual master. That is why it's called Guru Tattvam, Atma Tattvam. Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshana Anumanabhyam Shreyasa Anuvindade Bhagavadam. So naturally approaching a guru in this mood is the right thing. From Arjuna's point wise, he has made the right move by moving, approaching Krishna in that way. Shishyasteham, I am your surrender, instruct me properly. Shadhimam Tvam Pravannam. Very bluntly he said to Krishna, I have surrendered unto you. I have no other shelter except than you. These are the cultural background. Cultural in the sense that mandatory requirement for a disciple to have this mood before he approaches a bona fide spiritual master. This mood should be there. That I am lost in this world. Okay? Magnam samsara varitho. This samsara material existence has driven me crazy. I'm not finding any happiness in this world. All that I'm receiving is distress from everywhere. And I'm just confused and don't know what to do. So the material life brings us to this point, and it is then that you seriously think about the spiritual life, spiritual goal. And you start asking these questions. And when you ask that questions, only then the knowledge will shine. Only then the knowledge will shine. Because knowledge is subjected to this one important point, that the qualification of the disciple. Disciple without being qualified, if you instruct him on things like this, it will not have any benefit for him and he won't experience that, what he is looking for. What it says here is, adhikarinam ashaste phalasiddhi visheshada upayam deshakaladyam sandhyasmin sahakarina. In spiritual instruction, nothing is important except the qualification of the disciple. Adhikaritam. You are qualified then. If you have come to this state of mind, you are qualified to receive the instruction. So what it says here is, adhikaritam ashaste. Only adhikaritam. Time is not important. The place is not important. Where you are born is not important. In which family you are born is not important. Nothing is important. They are all sahakarina, secondary, it says. They are all secondary things. The primary thing for a person to receive spiritual instruction is this, able to surrender to the Guru. Able to surrender to the Guru. And approach the Guru with this understanding, I have surrendered unto you. I don't know what is good for me. I'm completely finished in this world. Instruct me properly what I should do now. And that state is not easy to come. It is not easy to come in this world. Honestly, to happen, I'm saying. Artificial level, you can do it. So many things goes on in this world. But in a genuine level, in a genuine feelings, to do that, it needs a lot of... Arjuna must have thought a lot before that. Doing this, because he must have hit him very badly, this distress and the crisis he is in today. He must be experiencing that very much inside. So, and he did not know what the answer and solution to the problem is. So that is why he said like that to Krishna, that I surrender unto you. I just don't know what to do, what the solution is to the problem. So it is because of that only that Krishna was saying there that I am willing to surrender unto you. Karpanya dosha apakrata svabhava. That only such a person, the knowledge of Brahma Vidya will shine. Main thing to remember in all these things is that is the jiva pakva. Pakva means is he matured enough. One who has come for approaching you for this knowledge is or the spiritual master. The spiritual master's duty, the first thing he has to do is to make sure that is ready for that, to verify that in a person. Is he ready for the spiritual life? So those great souls, they were very discriminative. They will not waste their time on useless cases where they feel that then it becomes business. then it becomes business. You don't get benefit from that, neither from the disciple nor for the spiritual master. So therefore, there is different things to understand, that the spiritual master's role is important in the sense, in his judgments, he has to be very perfect. He'll make the right judgment about a person. Disciple from his side also should know what he is doing. He has come to the right state of consciousness where he is willing to accept the instructions from the spiritual master. So that is why this particular verse, Karpanya Dosha Apakrata Svabhavam, Kripanada has come to me. That's what Arjuna is saying. Kripanada means basically miser, being miser. What is that miserliness? Miserliness is this, that he is thinking that he is this body, isn't it? He's thinking I'm this body. And for body's sake, I have to do all these things just to protect this body. Arjuna is asking the question himself, that I have to kill all these people just to maintain this body, which will die any day one way, it is going to die. So should I have to do all these things? So this is a kind of kripanada in me, karpanya dosham. So on the one side, the morals are strong, standing very strongly in Arjuna's mind. On the other side, the Kauravas are standing there ready to fight and win. So it is a big crisis in life, isn't it? You are thrown into a big crisis. That's why he's saying here, Karpanya Dosha Abhahruda Svabhavam. My Svabhavam as a Kshatriya is to fight. I am not frightened of anybody. Arjuna is never frightened of anyone in this world. He will go to heavenly planets and fight there also. That's the kind of personality he is. So he says, my Svabhavam, my actual nature, has been influenced by this Kripanada, Karpanyam in me. How did this come to me? Prachami tuam dharma samudha chedaha. The result of all that is dharma samudha. I am lost. I don't know what is dharma, what is adharma. Those things have gone away from me. I cannot discriminate properly. Prachami tuam dharma samudha chedaha. Then yashreyasya nischidam bruhi tanme. What is shreyas for me? What is shreyas for me? Please instruct me on that. Arjuna is saying, Nishreyas bruhi than me. Shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. I am your disciple, he says. Arjuna means this, that I am surrendered unto you. Shadhimam tvam prapannam. I am your disciple. I have taken your shelter to give me the right instruction at this point in time. When this verse was spoken, Krishna understood, man is ready now. There's some point in talking to him. You see? Some point in talking to him. Why Bhagavad Gita is brought up in this particular pattern is, Vedavyasa Maharshi knew very well that Bhagavad Gita will be a shining lamp in the world forever. And many people will come to Bhagavad Gita looking for light, looking for knowledge and light. And if it is not presented in this series, in the serious way, and in that right progression, people will misabuse it. They will start thinking that, oh, it's not, all those things again, I'm a devotee, Krishna's devotee, all this doesn't matter to me. I've already surrendered to Krishna. And misunderstanding will come. But in order to clarify our own mind, Vedavyas is saying this in that sequence, proper sequence. So when this surrender has happened, Krishna woke up. And you will see how Krishna's reaction is in the next verse. One more verse before that it happens was that Krishna Arjuna also, after saying this Karpanya Dosham, he also said some more things after that. That nahi pravashyami mamapanidhyam yachokamuchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhumam asavatnamrdham yajyam suranam abhi cha adhivatyam. That in these verses are more or less the same like before. That he says here, nahi pravashyami mamapanidhyam, in this material, in this earthly planet, what is the use of having a world where I have no enemies? And it is plenty, everything, opulences. And even if you give me the position of the role of the Indra in the world, and I don't see any way I can stay out of this grief. Arjuna kept saying this again. But the words before this, Karpanya Doshama Hridasvabhava, that Krishna has taken it seriously. But this was the words Arjuna spoke after that. But in spite of all that, when all these things happen, Sanjaya comes in and says to Dhritarashtra that what happened at that point. Evam uktva Hrishikesham Gudakesha Parandava Nai Olsya Idi Govinda Uktva Tushni Babuva Ha. Babuva Ha. It says there that Krishi says to him that saying like this to Krishna, the last two verses, saying like this, I'm not going to fight. Saying like this, said this to Krishna, and Arjuna sat there on the chariot without willing to do anything, asking for an answer from Krishna. Tam uvacha Hrishikesha prahasan iva bharata senayor ubhayor madhye vishidandam ivam idam vacha. Saying like this, my dear king, Bharata, addressing Dhritarashtra as Bharata. This is Sanjaya's words now. Sanjaya saying like this, addressing Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra here, he is called Bharata. Remember? Sometimes Arjuna is called Bharata. Dhritarashtra is called Bharata here. Why is that? Bharata, the word means, Bha means knowledge. Ratha means one who lives in knowledge. Rati means who once enjoys knowledge. We are all Bharatas actually. We are supposed to enjoy the spiritual knowledge and live in that knowledge. And Dhritarashtra also is meant to live like that, although he doesn't. But therefore Sanjay is saying Bharata to Dhritarashtra that you are supposed to be like, live like that. Tamuvaja Hrishikesha Prahasanniva Bharata Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Vishi Dandam Idam Vacha. After hearing all these things, Sanjay is saying to Dhritarashtra, after saying all these things, Prahasanniva Bharata, he says, Prahasanniva Bharata, that Krishna started a small smile. First time, Krishna is smiling here now. Krishna's smile starts here. And the smiling is because of this, that at least you are now ready to hear from me what I got to say, and therefore there is a smile. Krishna's smile is well known, isn't it? You know, Krishna's smile is very well known, and in the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami analyzes Krishna's smile at different places. Ahasam unmada karija maya. In the third canto, you can see this verse. When Krishna smiles, what it means is that how we are all suffering in the hands of Maya, and Krishna is smiling there. Hasam unmada karija maya. Krishna's Maya, when it plays on us, it creates a madness, isn't it? Unmada kari. Maya is unmadam, madness. That madness, what it creates, Krishna laughs at it. Laughs means smiles at it. Hasam. Then in another place, you will see this smile has got so many different meanings. When Krishna smiles, it has different meanings at different times. Same person is smiling and different meanings. When Duryodhana came to Rajasuyam sacrifice, he slipped and fell. You know that story. And everybody laughed, isn't it? Draupadi also laughed. And our Duryodhana got really upset with her. Her laughing hit him very hardly. Because he had acted in so many wrong ways with Draupadi before. Same family, isn't it? So, there what happened was, when Draupadi laughed, he couldn't bear that. Krishna says to Draupadi, laugh more, this is the best time for you to laugh. And everyone was in a shock. And Krishna also, ha 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 ha, like that. Krishna also laughed. Heavily laughed. And he was enjoying the whole thing. Only two people enjoyed in Rajasvayam. One Krishna and the other one Draupadi. These two personalities, they were enjoying. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling awkward because he is too much into dharma, isn't it? He is feeling, Duryodhana is after all my younger brother. He has come here. And I have invited, he has come to our house. Is it proper to laugh like this? and all that. And he's telling to Bhima, was also laughing a little bit, but he says, Bhima, keep quiet, don't laugh in front of him like that. Bhima was controlling, because the elder brother is telling him not to do it. He listen carefully. And Draupadi laughed, and Yudhishthira Maharaj chastised her. What are you laughing for? Krishna says, don't stop Draupadi from, let her enjoy this laugh. So Draupadi had a great time, Krishna had a great time. There also Krishna laughed. Then one day Uddhava noticed this. Krishna was standing in Dwaraka in the palace and looking at the mirror himself, was looking at his own beauty. And Uddhava says there that he was smiling at himself, seeing his own beauty, the form what he has. Yeah. So that's also mentioned in the third canto, that Krishna was enjoying his own beauty. When he looked at the mirror, he saw his own beauty. There's nobody else in the room, so he was smiling. He was smiling. And Uddhava saw that. So Uddhava mentions about Krishna's smile like that. Like this, in the Bhagavatam, you will see at different instances Krishna smiling. So every time, and smile in different grades, isn't it? You can categorize this. Sometimes you joke and laugh in big loud noise, that's one kind. Here, what word used is prahasaniva bharada, prahasanam. Prahasanam means just little smile, small smile. Just like we nod at people when we see on the streets, just a nod like thing. So like that, Krishna has smiled here with Arjuna. So do you think it's nice when somebody comes to you in great distress and you are smiling? How will you feel about it? He's supposed to show some compassion to you and join you in your misery, isn't it? But from Krishna, don't expect any such thing anytime. Because there it is truth. Everything is truth there. And there is no this human feelings and emotions and things like that won't play any role there. Only in one or two instances of Bhagavatam, artificially he had to create it. Sadness in his mind. You know when? To escape from a misery, Krishna had to do this. When Satrajit was killed, Satyabhama, Kshatriya woman, took the chariot and ran straight away to Indraprastham, to Hastinapur. Gone there and complained about what Shatadhanya and Kridavarma was done. And she wanted immediately Krishna and Balaram to come to Dwaraka and to take action against Shatadhanya and Kadavarma. So when Satyabhama came and reported that, Krishna was smiling. But immediately he realized that Satyabhama will get very upset with me. So he says, he started crying. Krishna started also join Satyabhama. And he says to Balaram, join me in this. Otherwise, there will be problem for me. He says, so Balaram also becomes very compassionate and very to show the mercy. And Satyabhama is riding the chariot on the way back from Hastinapur to Dwaraka. Satyabhama, Krishna always had a soft heart for Satyabhama. That you can see in the Bhagavatam. Unlike Rukmini, Rukmini coming from a royal family and very big palace and plenty of relatives and friends and all. So even if Krishna upsets her, she can go back to any one of them to talk to visit or stay for a few days. Satyabhama had nowhere to go. Satrajit is also now killed. There's no family behind to help her. And plus her nature, by nature Satyabhama was very very aggressive in that way. Kshatriya nature in her, very strong. She won't easily give in to anything what Krishna says. But so Krishna knew these things and was considerate to her always. So there Krishna showed some compassion. Normally don't, and that way completely a fake compassion. There was no compassion there in that words either. Because one who knows the truth, all this is Maya and Maya's activities. What's the point in showing compassion to that? You'd be a fool. So Krishna's attitude is like that. He didn't show any compassion there at that time. Then Arjuna and Krishna came back with Balaram and so just by showing that compassion, Satyabhama got pacified a little bit, and then Krishna went searching for Shatadhanya. All that stories in the Bhagavatam. That is another instance. Another instance in the Bhagavatam, you will see when Salua attacked Dwaraka. Have you noticed that? When Salua performed intense penances and pleased Lord Shiva gave him a special aeroplane which can appear in the sky and disappear. You cannot locate it where and appear somewhere else. a lot of mystic powers attached to that special plane which was given to Salya. So what Salya did, Salya wanted to put Krishna. Pradyumna was fighting the war against Salya. Pradyumna was fighting Krishna's son, and Pradyumna was losing because of this special technology what Lord Shiva has given to him. A special plane Maya has created, I think, given to him, and you cannot find, wherever you look, it's not there. But it appears somewhere and starts shooting arrows at you. So, when this happened, Salya applied some Maya at that time. What was that Maya? Salya created two personalities, Vasudeva and Devaki, looked exactly like Krishna's parents. Exactly like Krishna's parents. And he brought them in this plane in front of Salya, and he said to Krishna that I'm going to cut the head of Vasudeva in front of you. Now, obviously you can imagine that Pradyumna has been losing the battle. Krishna has come to help Pradyumna. Pradyumna said, I can handle myself. Pradyumna could not handle the situation because Lord Shiva has given certain powerful mayas because of the pressure from this devotee Salya. So when they want to cut off the head of Vasudeva, for a moment Krishna withdrew. For a moment, just for a second, Krishna withdrew. But because he is the absolute truth, immediately the higher knowledge takes over above that. And he told Salya, you can kill him. No problem. It's about that state of thing. So spiritual knowledge is truth. It is the truth. That is the reality. And Krishna also, at different times, if you look at Krishna's activities in this world, in 125 years time, you will see how he smiled. When he was with the gopis, there was another kind of smile. With the gopis, it is that naughty, cheating nature. All the time. Stealing everything from the gopis, butter, cheese, everything. And then when the gopis catch him, he looks at them in great distress and smiles at them. After, when they let him go, he smiles at them and goes away in a naughty way. That having done everything what he has to do, all the giving them enough trouble, and then he's leaving them. So when he gets them, when they get him, he acts very submissive and very repentful, and then when they let him go, he smiles at them. That who has won now in that moment. That, so that's another smile. Another smile of Krishna. This particular pastime there. You see that? This is another interesting pastime in the Bhagavatam. When cow was feeding in the calf was come to drink the milk from the cow. Krishna goes underneath and pushes the calf away and drinks the milk. And the cow is licking the back of Krishna's back. So, because at that point it says that, and Krishna, Yashoda Devi has come to talk to Krishna, the gopi has come to talk to Krishna and chastising Krishna. But cow is not saying anything. Cow is profusely supplying milk to Krishna as much as he wants. Why? Krishna is Sachidanandam, isn't it? Sachitanandam, eternal blissful, full of knowledge. It is Sachidanandam that the cow is touching. Cow is feeling the bliss from this touch. That is why milk is coming out freely, and the cow is also feeling transcendental happiness. It's a famous pastime in the Bhagavatam, in the 8th chapter if you look. So like this, and there also, now look at Krishna's situation there. One hand is busy keeping the calf away. Another hand is for supporting on the floor. So he is not able to speak to mother anything. That what I am doing is right or wrong. Just keeping looking at her face and continuously drinking the milk. Without any problems. Eh? So in every situation, Krishna smiles. Krishna smiles. So, but here, this smile is little different. He only smiled. Prasanniva Bharata. Why? Arjuna's ignorance at least has been come out openly. Now I can talk, he feels. So he is smiling. We'll start that tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.